All righty. Well, we in Romans 3:20. We've again reading from that Galatians 3rd chapter, and I want to just give a few passages for you to think about as we go and prepare for our service in the morning. And that Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." You're dealing with that particular passage, he's making this reference, because verse 19 says, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" That was the question. It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. So with that in mind, and we read in this Romans passage, it says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." What does the law do? It's the knowledge of sin. "But now, righteousness of Elohim without the law is manifested." Notice that term, without the law. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of Elohim, which is by faith of Yeshua Messiah, unto all and upon them that believe it, for there is no difference. And he's going to be dealing with that. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Elohim." Physical circumcision brought to completion with the fulfillment of the old covenant, the requirements of circumcision of the flesh were superseded by the spiritual circumcision of the heart. The Apostle Paul makes this clear. That's what the whole reason this Galatians issue comes up. They're trying to understand that and deal with this. So this is something that we want to see and clearly see. So let's look at it in the second chapter of Romans, verse 23. It says, "That thou makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law dishonoreth thou Elohim. For the name of Yahweh is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law." How does it profit? If you keep the law. "But if thou be a breaker of the law," transgress it, "thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." So what he's saying is, just because you are circumcised in the flesh doesn't mean that everything's cool now. You good. You kind of arrived or something like that. The circumcision of the flesh is not Messiah. It's something that was a requirement of them, but he's telling them, if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. You need a Savior. How do you understand that? That's what he's referencing. Now watch this. "For circumcision verily profited if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." Verse 26. "Therefore, if the uncircumcision keeps the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law?" He says it, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." Verse 29, "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly." Notice that. What does he call him? He is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter. Now, when he says the letter, what is he talking about? Because he's trying to give us these terms, because we're talking about the letter now. "Whose praise is not of men, but of Elohim." We're still dealing with the law, that which was written to us. Now watch this. I'm going to give you several references. I put some of them up here. I may have missed some, but there's some of them there. I'm not going to keep it up too long. I'll give them to you. I made slides for, I think, some of these, maybe all of them. But well, let's look at them together. Now, I want you to notice this. What is used in order to bring in the promises? Or that promise, which is the seed. That's what we're ultimately dealing with, the seed. Let's look at Matthew 5:17. He says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." Notice what he's dealing with. Who's speaking here? This is the Messiah, Yeshua. He says, "Think not." Now, who's he speaking to? A Jewish audience, not Gentiles. He's speaking to a Jewish audience. They're all around, and he says, "Think not that I'm come." They wouldn't. I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So, what is he saying? He says, "I'm not going to destroy what you've been trusting in, but I'm the rest of it." Think about that. Because, you know, they were adding to it and taking away and doing all this. He said, "I am the rest of it." Now watch how it testifies of who Messiah is. Because, right, we have a testimony. It's like this. When Yeshua was here, what did he do? He sent out forerunners. Who was the forerunner that was bringing in right before Messiah came? Who was the forerunner to Messiah? John the Baptist. What did Yeshua do before he went into town? He sent his disciples out, and they would say, "Messiah's coming, Messiah's coming. He'll be here tomorrow." What did the law and the prophets do? It was the forerunner bringing in, ushering in Messiah. Well, let's look at it together. Matthew 7:12, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." That's the testimony. The one prepping. So that's what the law and the prophets done. It preps us, prepares us. Did we need it? Well, absolutely we need it. If we wouldn't have needed it, he wouldn't have gave it. You think Yahweh wasting his time at Mount Sinai? Which we're about to approach. We're about to approach Shavuot. We're going to approach the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, we're going to approach that. That's a time. What is that time for? It's a time of intimacy. It's a time to let the fulfillment of the Spirit envelop us. Not for a moment. Not for a moment. But to be with us, to reside in us. Look at the next one, Matthew 11:13. "For all the law and the prophets prophesied until John." When John was on the scene, it wasn't prophecy no more. He was there speaking it. He was speaking it. So I just gave these real quick. I'll go through as many as I can. Matthew 22:40. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." These two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What's he talking about? "Here, O Israel, Yahweh, your Elohim, Yahweh is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Wow. Luke 24:27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets." Now, when I say beginning at Moses, I'm saying also what? Beginning with the law and the prophets, and beginning at Moses, they mean the same thing. Moses is his name is also attached to the law of Moses. So beginning at Moses, not talking so as the individual, but he was the one in which brought him to Mount Sinai. So understand that. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scripture the things concerning himself. Isn't that amazing? You notice what they're using here. Not destroying this, but using it as the forerunner that's before the promise, which is the seed, which is Messiah, and what his blood did took care of what the physical circumcision did. How many understand that? Luke 16:16, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of Yahweh is preached, and every man presseth unto it." The law and the prophets. I just gave a few of these. Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets. Notice that. Just gives you a little bit better understanding there. And in the Psalms concerning me. What are they talking about here? That's the Torah and the writings and the Psalms. The writings would be that of the prophets. John 1:45, Philip finding Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him. Found him. Him who? Talking about Yeshua, Messiah. We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. See, it's a testimony of what's to come. Do we need the law? Well, of course we do. It's not something that was there, and it's so bad when Yeshua shows up, he has to get rid of it. He fulfills it. It's very important to understand it that way. But in the church world, we don't need that no more. What we got is now is Yeshua. Well, that's okay at the beginning, and it's all praiseworthy and all that because we love Jesus. But without no law, without no rules, that then men become law writers. And they write their own versions. And hence we get all these different groups, right? Well, that's what happened. You know, we don't have to agree with it. That's the reality. That's what's happened. How many they got? Well, last count I've seen in the handbook of religions, they're about 33,000 or 36,000. That's a lot, wouldn't you think? Oh, yeah. Acts 13:15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. What did they read? The law and the prophets. They sitting in the town. This is Acts now. This is Luke's account of what's going on. Yeshua had already ascended in Acts 1. He's gone. He's at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities, power. He's all above all of that. He's given him a name above every name. And what are they still reading? The law and the prophets. And so this is important just to see. Acts 24:14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, back then, if the way was heresy, don't get all worked up if you think you hear it in heresy. Okay? That's what happens when you get in the truth a little deeper in the truth. You become the heretic. So worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. What are we believing? All things which are written in the law and the prophets. Thank you, Father. Acts 28:23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Yahweh, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. If you want to know what Paul preached, there you go. That's it right there. He preached the kingdom of Yahweh is coming, and he preached it from the law and the prophets. He told them about Yeshua HaMashiach and the wonderful thing he did, how that we have no circumcision of the flesh. It doesn't profit you. That the circumcision of the heart by the blood of Yeshua is the thing that gives you salvation. Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of Elohim without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And that's what that's the verse that started us into this search. So I wanted you to see that. Now, to continue on, let's cover these, and it'll get us right where we need to be for in the morning. Galatians 3:20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one. Aha. Yahweh is one. A mediator, and we read it again. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one. Because it doesn't make sense. If you're the mediator, you don't mediate by definition. It's not of one. It's of how many? It's of two. So Yeshua is the mediator of the two. Notice Paul, he's very brilliant here. His writings are absolutely brilliant. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is Ahad. Yahweh is one. Is the law then against the promises of Elohim? You ready? We've got to throw the anchor out. Is the law then against the promises of Elohim? Certainly not. That means literally in English, may it never be. Certainly not, by definition, may it never be. That's what a Jew would say, may it never be. Isn't that amazing? Because we don't want to drift here, because you can drift. You read one verse, you'll drift in your own ideas. They become so concrete, you'll make up words and say Jesus said it. Don't make up stuff. You can't make it up. You're drifting. Listen, I'm going to keep it simple for you. Just whatever it says. Why don't we first obey what it says? And then if you don't like that, I don't know who can help you after that. But if you can't just do what it says, go ahead and do whatever you want then. Because I don't know who can help you. But we hadn't even first obeyed what it says. And it's just like the Jews were doing. It wasn't enough. They kept adding and adding. And if you read the Mishnah, you'll see it was just so many rules and regulations. And that's what Yeshua got on to them about. He said, you wrote that. That was your tradition. You don't even keep your own rules. You want everybody else to keep them, but you won't lift a finger to keep them. That's what he told the leaders. He said, you want them to keep them. You want them people weighted down with all these regulations, and you won't lift one finger to do it. He got on to them. And so it's easy. It's easy to preach restraint to the people. What are you doing? Is the law then against the promises of Elohim? Certainly not. He promised Abraham a seed. The law is not against that. The law came 430 years after that. And then we're waiting. And all of a sudden the promise comes. Was the law against the promise? Certainly not. Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Think about it. If the law would have been enough for righteousness and give eternal life, he would have had no need for his only son to come and die. No need whatsoever. But after that, faith has come. We are no longer under the schoolmaster. Some translations use the tutor there. How many know the tutor is the one that's helping along? If you need a tutor, they're kind of helping you. What you're not getting it on the first go-around. So you got the teacher, and the teacher's teaching you, and you didn't do so well. The tutor is brought in to help you. That's what the law is. It's the school is brought in as the helper. For ye are all the children of Yahweh by faith in Messiah Yeshua. Now notice what we are. Children of Yahweh by faith in Yeshua Messiah. Isn't that amazing? Children? That's what it said. So let's find a spot here. We're going to stop right here. I'm going to bring these two verses on board here to show you what he says in Romans also. Now, Galatians 3:25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Where else does he use that? We'll look at it in Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law. Notice that. Now, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster or a tutor. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Notice that. What is he saying here? Well, listen. We have been freed by Yeshua from the conviction. Not, don't get me wrong, what conviction word I'm using. not being, having a conviction over something. You and I were convicted. You don't know how real that is until you're on the other side of the seat of the judge. And he gives the conviction. The conviction is not something that comes to you until you have been found guilty. Why? What does the law say? You're guilty. Now, if you're under the law constantly, you got to be convicted of your guilt. But I'm going to read it again. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. We're not under the law that brings conviction. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Is this helping anybody? Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. You're not under the conviction of the law, but under grace. Now watch this. This is the big one. I got it highlighted in red. What then? Because this is what nobody wants to think about, the what then. I'm going to church. What then? I changed my life. What then? I'm trying to do better. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? We're not convicted anymore? The conviction's been canceled. The anti-venom has been applied. Does it change the fact that you had been bitten? No, you can't. You're not going to undo the bite. You're just stopping what the bite could do when the poison's flowing through you. Because you got the anti-venom. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Throw the anchor out. Because we don't want to drift here. Certainly not. May it never be. There's no reason for it. And so that's the thing that I think a lot of times, and let me tell you, with that one thing, folks have went on and said, you know what? You can't even sin no more. Once you get saved, you're good. You can't sin. And I got folks who get up and preach this. You know what I want to say to them? Have you lost your mind? The enemy, he don't care if you're saved or you carry I'm a Christian tag and print it on your forehead. He ain't going to leave you alone. He's out to get you. He's out to tempt you. He's out to make sure you fail. And there have been times in our life after we come to the Lord that we have bit the bait and we got hooked. Thanks be to God that we have an advocate with the Father. Remember, the mediator is not of one, but Yahweh is a high. The mediator steps in and he intercedes on our behalf and says, Father, I'm asking you on their behalf. Don't let that thing drag them down. And we repent of that wrong. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. This is not before you come to know the truth. He said this after. You're in the faith. You're in the faith. The righteousness of Elohim has come upon you by the blood of Yeshua. And he says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I'm so thankful of that. So we continue. Because what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? But under grace? Certainly not. So I hope that helps you. Helps you get a spot. So I'm going to read Romans 8, and then we're going to start on verse 26 in the morning, Galatians 3:26. I'll read Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now. There is therefore now. Why is it now? Because there's something that you do. How many ready for this? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah Yeshua. There is no condemnation to them who are in Messiah Yeshua. Now, being in Messiah Yeshua is not just saying, I identify with him, I've accepted him. You can do all of the above. But here's the real testimony of you in. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, you could be in Messiah Yeshua and you can still get in the flesh. How many know that you have been living proof of this? It happens. But remember, what's the qualifier for no condemnation? Who walk not after the flesh. We don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me tell you, you feel way better. Even though your flesh was telling you, you'll feel better if you just tell them. You do tell them, but you know the moment you did, because you have already tasted of the goodness of God, the ugly, ucky, ill feeling that hits you in the bosom, you can't even describe how bad you want it to go away. You just want to puke it up. But when you don't do it, your flesh hurts because you feel like you got walked over, stepped on, and got no respect. But on the inside of you, there's a leaping that goes on because you know you had obedience toward Yahweh. And that feeling, you can't buy it. Nobody can give it to you. It's just you feel, you know what? I feel good. Because you didn't obey that. That's a hard thing to do. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua had made me free from the law of sin and death. The life that I have in Messiah, I'm free from the law of sin and death. No kidding. Thank you, Lord. We're free from that because we were bound to it. For what the law could not do, where was the weakness? In that it was weak through the flesh. The law couldn't do it because it was weak in the flesh. Yahweh, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? I don't know if y'all ready for this. That the righteousness of the law. I thought we just got rid of the law. That the righteousness of the law. See, the law is not helpful to you if you keep sinning. But if you fulfill the righteous requirements of the law like Yeshua did, what does he call it? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Wow. Let me tell you, this is shouting stuff right here. You read this, you've read this many times, but not every time you get it. I pray today you get what it's saying here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Messiah Yeshua. Then the qualifier, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You can be in Messiah Yeshua, and if you get in the flesh, there's a consequence for it, and you're going to pay that consequence. It's going to set you back. It's going to be a delay. You're going to have that sick feeling. You know it's real. It's instantly happens. You feel that. Oh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I think that? Why is this happening? And you got to fight against that. How do you fix it? You have an advocate with the Father. He's faithful and just to forgive you. You repent. Repentance. It means once you get saved and you can't ever sin, then why do we have anything about repentance? Why does he give a chance to anybody? If there's no, it's done, you're finished. Doesn't make sense. And that's what happens when you read half a verse, understand a half of the text, and go on and we speak on it. We have to be so careful. So I hope that you'll see this. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Messiah Yeshua. No doubt about it. Here's a qualifier. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's a reason for it. What the law couldn't do, and that it was weak in the flesh. The law couldn't do it. As long as you're in the flesh, the law can't help you. But the moment you receive, you walk in the Spirit, and you fulfill that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in you. So is the law righteous? It just said the righteousness of the law could be fulfilled in us. Isn't that amazing? What was it? It was the schoolmaster or the tutor until the promise come, the seed. And we're going to continue in that down that thought. We're going to be in Galatians 3:26 in the morning, and we're going to go after it as hard as we can. All right? I appreciate you tonight. I thank God for you. What we got to be thinking